dramática en Bagdad ocurre después de que aviones de Washington realizaron ataques contra las bases de la milicia chiita Kataib Hezbollah. María Isabel Ceballos amplía la información.
Donald Trump culpa a Irán de estar detrás del asalto a la embajada estadounidense en Irak y promete responder. Las fuerzas de seguridad emplearon gases lacrimógenos contra la multitud después de que los manifestantes incendiaran una de las entradas del edificio e intentaran derribar la puerta principal. La protesta se produce en respuesta a los ataques de Washington contra el territorio iraquí. Las personas en protesta destrozaron las cámaras de seguridad, lanzaron piedras e instalaron tiendas de campaña frente a la sede diplomática. Por el momento se reportan más de 20...
Radio Santa Cruz 101 on your FM dial successfully flying the skull and crossbones for the past 10 years.
And up next on the net for Free Radio Santa Cruz's net show of January 2nd, 2019, it's Bathrop Spears Broadsides yet again, 2 hours for you. A lot of interviews, bits and snatches, rags and patches, a bit from the DIY parade, a bit from the life at the Funa Bombs area, a bit from camps around the area, where people are surviving in the absence of any meaningful winter shelter for a lot of them, and some because they just can't stand the shelters anyway, even if they were available. But listen in and you'll learn more.
They go wild, simply wild over me, though I've never done them harm that I can see. I'm as gentle as a lamb, but they take me for a ram. They go wild, simply wild over me. Oh, the cop, he went wild over me, and he held his gun where everyone could see. He was breathing rather hard when he saw my union card. He went wild, simply wild over me. Wild over me, and I plainly saw we never could agree. So I let the man obey what his conscience had to say. He went wild, simply wild over me. Then the jailer, he went wild over me, when he locked me up and threw away the key. Oh, it seemed the rage to keep me in a cage.
That was another wobbly IWW song, The Industrial Workers of the World, radical anarcho-syndicalist socialist group from, gosh, well, it's still around in one form or another, actually very small form or another. Used to have a chapter in Santa Cruz. It may still, for all I know, although I haven't seen much evidence of that. The song was the popular Wobbly, and it was a labor song written by Finnish-American songwriter T-Bone Slim, according to the notes on YouTube. It's a parody of the 1917 hit They Go Wild, Simply Wild Over Me by Joseph McCarthy and Fred Fisher. more songs of this kind by listening further to the show, because I think I'm going to play some more wobbly tunes as I try to figure out what I want to begin the show with. I got a little tired of Sing Me a Song with Social Significance, so who knows, maybe that will come back. And got any suggestions, give me a call at the Huff Line, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, which is also my home phone, 831-423-4833, or 423-HUFF. So we'll begin with an interview from a woman I call Cornerstone Carol. You've heard her before on this show, Cornerstone Carol Denny of Berkeley. She's a songwriter, she's a singer, she's an activist, and she called in with a report from Berkeley. All right, well, today is December 29th, and it's about a little after 1. I'm talking with activist Carol Denny from Berkeley, who's maybe got some updates. What you got, Carol?
Oh, well, I finally got a partial response to a Public Records Act request I filed back in September.
Uh-huh.
And this had to do with a little park currently called Triangle Park, close to People's Park. It's at the corner of Telegraph and Dwight.
Mm-hmm.
And there had been this odd phenomenon of the city coming up and fencing it off after having put benches and planters and, you know, a payphone and, you know, sculpture and, you know, turning it into a more, I don't know, a park full of all these amenities that
minus,
have the public experience.
Minus benches, of course.
Well, that was the first to go. These benches, most of the amenities are with the exception of the payphone. And I kept going up and checking in with people who knew the area really well, including the merchants, and the merchants all claimed they had no idea what was going on. But the people who spend most of their time outdoors were telling me that they're trying to undesignate a park that goes clear back to 1968 and was a 6 months forerunner of People's Park. It was named Herrick Peace and Freedom Park. It was dedicated to Chuck Herrick, who was the founder of Ecology Action. Part of Ecology Action's philosophy was, you know, take unused space and make parks out of it, make greenery, make gardens, you know, work together with your neighbors and convert these spaces wherever you can find them. Something that became 20 years later enshrined in a citywide ordinance in Berkeley called Measure L. That ordinance was passed by the entire city of Berkeley, very, very popular ordinance that said the same thing. We not only need to protect our open space, but we need to collect and convert unused public space wherever we find it. So what was going on up there was in complete controversy of certainly the park's history since 1968, but also Measure L, this ordinance which they have to undo if they wish to abuse, or so I thought. So right away I sent in a letter and a Public Records Act request, a note to the city council saying, what's going on up here, you know, this controverts Measure L, and, you know, you can't unpark a park. At least not in Berkeley. And what they apparently attempted to do right at that point was redesignate the park, and the city attorney, according to my Public Records Act request, which is, again, is only partial, I only see people responding to what the city attorney apparently was conspiring to do with the Business Improvement District on Telegraph Avenue, which was take away all the amenities, fence it off, make sure that nobody sees it as a place to be anymore, after which they'll quickly redesignate it, hoping nobody notices, and it will be henceforth referred to as a, quote, traffic median.
Mm-hmm.
Just a legal designation that means that they don't have to have a bench or have amenities or respect it as a park in any way because it's just a traffic median. And when I saw this, I thought, well, that, you know, shouldn't the city council care about this? I thought, is this all just between the city attorney and the city manager and that business improvement district? It turns out not at all. Kate Harrison of District 4 was all up in this, and so was Rigel Robinson, whose District 7 purview includes People's Park. To destroy a park, to unpark a park in Berkeley, the citizenry at large made that a very difficult thing to do, and enshrined in Measure L is an obligation on the City Council's part to protect parks and also to enhance and improve and enlarge parks wherever possible. So I'm in the middle of that as I wade through this. What I see is that yet again, and what you and I have seen for, it's got to be 40 years now, the reaction or overreaction to visible poverty is to decide in this case that they just have to destroy all parks. And, of course, only certain parks in certain areas are getting this treatment, but Triangle Park certainly is. And so I've been putting posters up there, which get rapidly torn down, but I've got about 50 of them, and I just keep going back and putting them up so that people have a chance to see that this park has a really interesting history as commemorative of atmospheric and ecology action, but also the forerunner of People's Park, community in action, user-developing public space for community good.
Make sure you save a poster for me as well. Maybe send me a photo of one if you can.
Oh, I'd be glad to. I'll send you. I'll do that as soon as we're off the phone.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought I'd tell you that also what I'm seeing all over town, I should say, are these areas of, you know, public spaces, our BART Plaza area being one, and certainly Telegraph area being another, where people are just being rousted and harassed in a very concentrated way, so that Martin versus Boise, the law that was upheld now, or that the Supreme Court refused to hear, that upheld people's right to simply be in public if there's nowhere else to go, is not being observed by Berkeley. And I noticed you, your marvelous discussion with KPFA a couple of weeks ago, noted the same thing about Santa Cruz.
Mm-hmm.
So you guys down there and we up here, I'm really looking forward in the new year to doing coordinated highlighting of this that has obviously not been a functional way for any government to work. Our tent communities are just enlarging and enlarging, and the hardship for people on the street is being ignored by the City Council. As far as I'm concerned, they are deeply concerned about people needing to use the bathrooms in local stores and stuff like that. And I feel like, okay, then, why don't we work together as a community for some common sense? And I really, really hope that I really want to thank you for highlighting these issues in Santa Cruz. You've helped me get a broader view and see that it is not just our local issue. This is nationwide.
Well, I know, Carol, that back in 94, it was Food Not Bombs and different groups in Berkeley fighting, I guess, what, Measure M or Measure N? I can never remember which letter it was.
Measure O.
Measure O, thank you. I got it wrong.
Pretty close.
Yeah. And they came down to Santa Cruz, and they helped to essentially, well, the police then rioted and went after people, but it became, we have a video was produced about it. It was,
yeah.
We were able to stop the sitting ban citywide. They limited it to the downtown, and it's been expanding ever since, but it's still, the coordination between the two activists in both communities and parts of both communities, I think, responded, at least here in Santa Cruz. I'm not an expert on Berkeley, but people came out in massive numbers and filled the streets in Santa Cruz. They initially went after Food Not Bombs, and our local Food Not Bombs, and Food Not Bombs up north came down to support them in early May of 94, and there was a massive police riot, as I said, and then that was followed the next week. Council members Coonerty and Kennedy were out on the streets. It was Mayor Kennedy at that time,
yeah.
You know, trying to
calm
the crowds and all that sort of thing. So, it requires large crowds to get the attention of these clowns. So.
Yeah, and publicity. So
yeah.
That at least the front page of my little paper, the Pepper Spray Times, will be all about next door deciding to remove Keith McHenry's post about the homeless memorial in Santa Cruz, which to me, considering the public records request I'm looking at, which is full of unctuous city council members and city staff commiserating with merchants who have to put up with the sight of poverty while people are honestly trying to live along a median strip somewhere or, you know, in some little unclaimed part of the city, like down here under the overpass. The imbalance, the moral outrage of the imbalance has really deeply affected me for the past 3 days. I'm just walking the city and talking to people, trying to get a sense of it. What kills me is they never fail to highlight the behavior of somebody who is struggling with mental illness and then use that person as a spokesperson for everybody else. And I have to say, as someone who, like, I'm perfectly capable of losing my temper or having an inelegant moment, but I speak for no one but me.
Yep.
Demand that right on behalf of my... I have a lot of friends on the street who move in and out of stability, and I'm just outraged at the tenor of the conversations that I'm having to see, which I know are all over Next Door. Next Door insists that, yes, you know, there is no politics to reporting someone black in a white neighborhood. And I've got to say, I'm glad there are at least a few voices who speak up. Apparently a few people object to Next Door's idea of what is and isn't political. But I'm outraged on behalf of Keith McHenry, whom I know well, and the treatment of a homeless memorial, which I would think is something every community should not only need to know about, they need to know the numbers, and I would hope they would wish to attend.
Mm. Well, Carol, thank you for that. Anything else you want to mention?
That's pretty much it. I just wanted to check in and thank you for your work. Wish you Happy New Year and hope to do coordinated actions.
I love the idea. If I can be helpful in some way and there's something happening, let me know what's going on in Berkeley.
Thanks a million.
I'll pass it on to folks down here. And I'll see if, you know, it's really hard to get people to move up there to do those actions, but maybe we can coordinate anyway. I mean, it's...
We can coordinate anyway by at least offering to send statements back and forth that can be read by somebody else. We'll figure out a creative way to do it and just work on different opportunities to share footage and share interviews and so forth.
And, of course, I'm also awaiting the forthcoming publication of the Collected Pepper Spray Times 96 through 2019. So.
Well, that would be fun. In my copious spare time, I will attend this.
Oh, yeah, I know. You've got a lot of lazy time there. Thanks, Carol.
All right. Have a great day.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Carol Denny, who is the author of the monthly satirical publication, The Pepper Spray Times, can be read in the online at the Berkeley Daily Planet website. She comes up with a four-page series of articles and parodies. You have to be a little conversant with Berkeley, probably, to catch it all, but I think it's some of it is a little more universal, and it almost regularly there's a bit of it that has to do with how homeless people are treated, or rather mistreated, in Berkeley, and unfortunately elsewhere as well. In Santa Cruz, it's also quite pertinent. I was going to try to get someone to be a contact person with Carol to try to mutually exchange information between Berkeley and Santa Cruz so that we can support each other when ridiculous or positive measures come up at City Council or at Chambers of Commerce meetings or Downtown Association events, things of that sort, police department activities, Next Door nonsense, Santa Cruz trash arenas. But we had a very small meeting yesterday. It was, of course, New Year's Day, and folks were obviously not terribly interested in coming to meetings. But we did have a small meeting, and it just we didn't get to it, and we may do that next week. We meet every Wednesday at noon, usually at the Sub Rosa. Sometimes when the Sub Rosa is closed, we'll hop over to the Bagelry or go to Yan Flower or some other place. But check us out. We're right next to the bike church, usually Wednesdays at noon. Homeless memorials, I like to see them as a kickoff point for action. That's, of course, my inclination. And obviously, if I have lost a whole bunch of friends, I might or might not want to. This is actually pointed out to me by a homeless woman criticizing a homeless memorial 10 years ago. I played this, I think it was last Sunday, as a flashback, criticizing the memorials that were being held at the Homeless Lack Services Center, now called Housing Matters, or Housing Mutters, as I call it. The idea that homeless people may feel more saddened by a memorial than able to, and more reminded of things they don't want to be reminded of if this kind of thing is sort of pressed upon them by the authorities that are running what they're doing, rather than by the if they aren't doing it themselves. The homeless memorial, I brought up the issue a couple of times, both at that memorial, well, the next memorial that we held on the streets 2 days later, and in several shows that the literature offered at the 2019 memorial describing deaths among the homeless people from December 20th, 2018 through December 9th, 2019 listed 58 people. And that's what the stats talk about, giving the number of housed and homeless, giving the number of men and women, and the numbers of white, Hispanic, Native American, Pacific Islander, black. They all add up to 58. But then if you look at the list of names on the back, Lost But Not Forgotten, Santa Cruz County, there's a whole 84 names on the back. And I pointed out, this is kind of strange. What's going on here? 58 is an increase over last year's report from 2017 to 2018, when there were, I'm looking at it now, I guess there were 55 listed. It's not very much of an increase, although I think that obviously some names have been left off both years' lists. Anyway, I wrote to Phil Kramer, who's the still the head of the Housing Mutters Homeless Lack of Services Center, Coral Street area, and he hasn't been very responsive to me in the past at all. But this time he wrote me back very quickly. I asked him specifically, how did I put it? I said, it seems kind of strange that we have this situation where you either have 58 dead or 84 dead. What's the story? Both of these figures seem to appear on the same literature. He said he didn't know, and he couldn't tell me. He didn't really handle it. Homeless Persons Health Project handled it. And I sent him back immediately a letter and said, well, yeah, but you're the master of ceremonies. You presided over all this. You gave out all this literature. Or, you know, you were the impresario who was sort of the head of that event. So it got forwarded by Matt Nathanson, who in the past has gotten together these names of the dead. I guess he's retired, and there's a guy called David Davis who's taken over at HPHP, Homeless Persons Health Project. He wrote me back, hi, Mr. Norris, the names read at the memorial include those who are homeless in Santa Cruz when they passed, 58, those who were housed and were previously homeless, 24, and those who were homeless at one point but passed out of the county last year, 2, total of 84. And actually, yeah, it's a total of 84. We do not make the distinction when reading the names. So I also asked him, and that may clear that up. In terms of hypothermia, I was trying to find out how many people died of hypothermia. The information, Davis writes, we have did not indicate it was the primary cause of death for any of the homeless people who died last year. That being said, the data is still pending on a number of deaths. If you know of anyone, he asks, on this list or missing from the list who passed away for any reason, please feel free to contact us. We rely on community members, healthcare partners, and presumably other folks to let us know. Clear that up. Confusing to me, still, even after I got the letter, I was a little unclear about it until I read it over a couple of times. I'm not sure how it's a matter of, maybe it's age, or maybe it's weariness, maybe it's too many times immersed in the subject, who knows. The details on people who have died outside in terms of, well, we have The claim that the county makes, the coroner makes, is that the most likely primary factors leading to death were, one, the biggest number is undetermined and pending, 28 out of the 58 that they cite as actually coming from homeless who were homeless in Santa Cruz when they passed, when they died. The next largest number is sepsis for 7, and then trauma for 6, struck by a vehicle, struck by a tree. That would be Desiree Quintero. And something else, it's not too clear what they're talking about. Oh, fall. They fell. Then we have suicide, cancer for 3, and then drug, alcohol, intoxication 2, chronic substance abuse, ALS, MRSA, renal failure, liver failure, and gastrointestinal bleeding 1. And, of course, we have some recent deaths. I'm not clear how Jerry died and how, I guess, Nancy died. Those are 2. Or how Kate died. Those are 3 names I know of people who died recently. I don't know them personally at all. I've talked to several of them at different points. Jerry, anyway. The issues that people have been raising that I am concerned about is that the city's failure to provide winter shelter options, a warming center option, other obvious options, showers, storage, the ability to go into, out of, even the limited so-called path to housing shelter or emergency shelter, if you're in a program which is available for maybe a couple hundred of the 1,200 or more homeless people who are outside, is been increased in the winter at all. And it's in fact been decreased from last winter. And this kind of was the focus, I think, at least one of the motivations for the New Year's Eve canopy that was out at the end of the Pacific Mall near where the Food Not Bombs meal normally takes place on Saturdays and Sundays, 4 to 6. And there's been lots of talk about us. Well, some talk, at least certainly among activists, about establishing some kind of taking over a building, taking over a parking garage during the night, or occupying it so that it can be used for homeless sleeping for that night, or sort of doing a protest there. There's been some suggestions of going back to City Hall with the Freedom Sleepers, as they were doing several years ago. Or just setting up another camp, possibly even at the Ross Camp area or somewhere else where there's a large open area. Nothing has been settled, and I've been trying to encourage people who are housed to become available on a sign-up list if they want to be a supporter for any of these projects, if and when they materialize, particularly if they come from homeless people themselves, because they're the people who are out there will be taking the heat, or I should say enduring the cold, and dealing with the police, and it would be nice for them to have some support if they do it, but they're the ones who've got to make that decision. So far, we have not yet done a lot of good organizing, although some of that is in process. A very small amount, I am a little embarrassed to say. First, discussions about having a Boise versus Martin lawsuit, the lawsuit that held that if you're in a city that has inadequate shelter, then you can't be cited, arrested for camping or sleeping. And that has, as I've said many a time on this show, slowed down the camping arrests, or actually stalled them largely, not entirely, but I would say in the main. But instead, as I've also said, and this is why any discussion of the camping ban is sort of stupid and off topic and kind of diversion, and why the CATCH committee's interest in this is spurious. It doesn't go to the issue of people outside in winter or people outside in summer or people outside generally, because what's being used are the other ordinances. And that's possibly going to be challenged. It could be challenged in court. We've heard, talk about Tristia Bauman, the National Law Center for Homelessness, and disabled rights groups, and ACLU attorneys, and other folks getting interested in this. And if they do, great. But they aren't coordinating with the Union of the Homeless, as far as I know, or with HUF, with Conscience in Action, or anybody else, which they don't have to do, but it does put me in a position where I don't really know what's going on. Who knows what's happening? Call in 423-4833. It does have a meeting on the 12th, which they're going to give away an award, which they do every year sometimes to the most unlikely candidates, such as Ryan Coonerty, former mayor and now supervisor, is helping to essentially restrict marijuana cultivation and consumption, a cutback on syringe exchange, and help to crush the first Ross Camp, or at least that seems to be what our mayor, Justin Cummings, told a group of people, or somebody in a group of people that he was with, suggested it came from Justin Cummings, that Ryan Coonerty was insisting there would be no funding for the 1220 River Street campground, which is a much smaller, more expensive campground than the Ross campground, the one behind the fence you can only approach by a vehicle, although I'm told that has loosened up somewhat, along River Street as you come into Santa Cruz from Highway 9. That's the 12th. I'll be giving you more information on that as the date gets closer.
Girls of the world, awaken, break your chains, demand your rights. All the wealth you make is taken by exploiting parasites. Shall you kneel in deep submission from your cradles to your graves? It is the height of your ambition to be good and willing slaves. Arise, ye prisoners of starvation. Fight for your own emancipation. Arise, ye slaves of every nation, in one union rant. Our little ones for bread are crying, and millions from hunger dying. The end, the means is justifying. 'Tis the final stand. If the workers take a notion, they can stop all speeding trains. Every ship upon the ocean, they can tie with mighty chains. Every wheel in the creation, every mine and every mill, fleets and armies of the nation will let their command stand still. Arise, ye prisoners of starvation. Fight for your own emancipation. Arise, ye slaves of every nation, in one union grant. Our little ones for bread are crying, and millions from hunger dying. The end, the means is justifying. 'Tis the final stand. Join the union, fellow workers, men and women side by side. We will crush the greedy shirkers like a sweeping, surging tide. For united we are standing, but divided we will fall. Let this be our understanding, all for one and one for all. Arise, ye prisoners of starvation. Fight for your own emancipation. Arise, ye slaves of every nation, in one union grant. Our little ones for bread are crying, and millions from hunger dying.
And I think you get the idea of that one. I think that's an earlier version of what became the Communist International before the Communist Party formed in its 1917 form. Actually, I think in the U.S. it was either 1918 or 1919 that the U.S. Communist Party formed. But it was the IWW's, one of their many songs. And now it's back to Santa Cruz with the latest from the end of the year festivities at the Red Church. I wandered through the last of the year meal there on the 30th, and here's what I found.
weather now, so to speak?
No.
Bad weather, but good reports?
Yeah, good reports with music.
You're smiling.
I know, right? Smiles are free, man. Everybody needs to put one on. What are we going to bring to 2020? Or what are we going to be teaching our kids?
Whatever isn't taken away from us. Thank you, Sonny. Any reports from the street? Street reports, sir?
Have a good week and a good new year. And, be excellent to each other and party on, dudes.
Indeed. And we've been listening to the cliches of
Travis.
Thank you, Travis. Any reports from the street? Street reports? You still have a car.
Alive.
What? Tell the police that you're sleeping in your vehicle. No, take it away from you.
Ah! It's two people sleeping.
You saw me walking my cat yesterday, and they waved at me and said,
yeah,
bye.
Two people and a cat.
Now, did your cat have a license?
She is, please. I should tell him.
No, she's a public menace, in other words.
A menace.
She was walking around the cars around here, and it looked like I was acting suspicious. You know? The cat was sniffing things out.
Oh, it's you with the cat.
It was me. It's all the cat. And she was like, what? Name of the cat?
She's anonymous.
Anonymous.
Appreciate it.
Name of the people talking?
No!
We'll leave that for the next time. Thank you for treating you, Susan.
It's been better and it's been worse. If I could get rid of a couple of guys.
I see.
Old guys in that trailer park.
Are you threatening some of the
elders?
Really,
oh, well, evidently they reported me for calling him a bastard and a son of a bitch, but I actually called one of them a sexual predator.
And was he a sexual predator?
And he called me a fat ass.
I see. So you exchanged greetings.
You know, we were just exchanging, yeah.
All right.
That's how mature us over 70
that's
years
the real
old
feelings.
Are
I think it's very, very
in a
good.
In a senior trailing bar. Well, I have good information on this one that I call a sexual predator.
Well, we'll leave that for the next time. And we've been talking to the libels of
Susan Worth.
Thank you, Susan. Anything new from you, sir?
Anything to report?
Yes.
Mueller report.
What do you got there?
Trump, you're going down. I know you're in there.
He better.
He's all around us.
Just disgusting.
Thank you. Any street reports?
Street reports. Got a street report.
Any reports from the street?
That's about
it. Any reports from the street?
I don't know much.
Well, Robert Parsons is against us being by the post office. He said he will support if we move to the city hall. So I said, well, we start the post office because the squatters over there, the farms over there at the city hall, they're not here. They're on vacation. So when we come back, we can move from the corner of the post office on Water Street in front and march all the way to city hall and have a Freedom Sleeper stoop.
And we've been listening to the thoughts of
a Freedom Sleeper.
Thank you, Freedom Sleeper.
And that, of course, was Lucero Luna, who's been rooting about the idea of restoring the Freedom Sleepers to City Hall once the City Council returns, which will begin next week, I believe, next Monday. Well, the City Council won't return, but the City staff will return, and the City Council will return second Tuesday in January, which will be the 14th.
It happened last time at McDonald's.
Yes.
And it'd be best for me to speak when I'm not in a crowded room.
Fair enough. It is a little hard, but we can still hear you.
Because it's easier for me to think and speak.
I got you. Well, we'll await that opportunity.
I have certain limitations.
Fair enough.
But thank I would you. Like to talk to you about it.
Thank you. But things haven't improved, in other words, particularly.
I will say that. It's just, I still go there.
Westside McDonald's.
But, you know, how should I say? I'm his project.
All right. We'll think about that one.
You understand, right?
I might. And if I don't, you can explain it next time. Thank you, Bob.
And last time I spoke with Bob, who carries his stuff with him, he talked about, I think it was being evicted from McDonald's, even though a regular customer told that he had been there for, either he hadn't bought the coffee that he had there, or he had bought it too long ago, or he was somewhat pissed that he was being given the bum's rush when he was a regular customer. And I'm still hoping to get more details on whether that's happening generally at McDonald's. I've been in Santa Barbara some time ago. We did a protest when McDonald's was regularly turning away homeless people and got them to change their policy by essentially going up there and ordering and then just sitting down and declining to leave and making a big public issue of it. That was a couple decades ago, not here in Santa Cruz, as I said, but in Santa Barbara. But that kind of thing can be done, or it can be made very public with pickets and so forth, and it may exert some pressure on the policies of these managements that are behaving that way towards a discriminatory, treating homeless people badly.
Any street reports? Reports?
Happy New Year!
Party horror.
I did hear you, and I responded, and you know that's after you came up this way.
We're edging into a conversation here in the line. Well, what's your name, sir, if you wish to say, for our record?
Jack Russell.
And Jack, what? Any reports from here, there, and everywhere, or anywhere, for that matter?
Nah, just Americans are asleep and don't realize they're slaves.
Well, that's probably true. Any reports from the street? Sleepy reports from the... Any reports from the street? No. Anything you wish to say for free radio?
Two things. He'll tell you everything. No, I'm just kidding. He's got two things.
Oh, well, that's a problem. I can hear that. Any street reports?
I don't have anything to say today, but thank you.
Thank you. Any reports from the street?
No.
Thank you. Any reports?
No.
Thank you. A music recommendation for all of you music lovers.
ODDTV. Music. It's about what the government and the cops do to us and how it's not right.
Dig it.
Yep.
Anything else you want to pass on?
That's about it.
Thank you. And you want to say we've been talking to?
Jack Russell.
Thank you, Jack. Again, sir.
I said Cooper will explain in full detail about the safe camp.
I've been referred to you, Cooper, as the mistress of ceremonies around the safe camp. What's it all about?
Oh, well, yes, we do have quite a safe camp. And
how many are safe in the safe camp?
Well, we've had as many as 12 people. A lot of times we get the overflow that the Salvation Army shelter can't handle. You know, they either have too many people or some of the people get kicked out and then they come to us. I have a lot of gratitude for the people who've donated blankets, clothing, food, and it really has saved lives. So I'm really grateful for all the donors, the Good Samaritans.
Any visits from the safe police?
Well, we still were getting ambushed nearly on a daily basis.
Right.
For impeding foot traffic on the sidewalk, which it was not. But they've written me so many tickets that they've given me 2 court dates already. So they ambushed and would ask for me, and then they've written me so many tickets that it was 2 court dates.
All right.
You
want to serve?
You can sit here, Michael.
You want to serve people. I'm observing. I'm making notes here.
Okay.
We have Joel Miller cleaning the floor with a napkin.
Yes.
But you were saying, Cooper.
And that's it. So then, lately, the last couple of days, we've had the police department people have come, and they've been really nice, actually. They said, oh, you guys, your camp looks really
bring clean. Coffee and donuts?
No, but we'll ask them next week. They might.
How long have you been there now?
A couple months. We started out on the corner of Loudoun Nelson, on the lawn, on that corner of Center and Laurel,
right,
across from the police department, and that was in about September 15th, somewhere around there. So we've been on the Loudoun Nelson premises there since about that.
Tickets have your group acquired since then?
Oh, my gosh. As a total, probably 50 or more.
Now, were you offered alternate places to go before you were given those tickets?
No, and it seems to me that the Rangers especially are uninformed as to our shelter situation in Santa Cruz. They were telling me there were 7 open shelters that were taking people. That is not true. We actually get the overflow from the only one, that Salvation Army, that's, you know, the night program
on Laurel Street.
On Laurel. And, you know, I mean, they kick the people out at 6 a.m. in the rain. So, but it's better than nothing. But a lot of times, yeah, we've taken the overflow from that group.
They give you a free shower occasionally over the fence at Laurel Park sprinklers.
Yes, during the summertime and the warm months, and the sprinklers did go on, which prevented anybody from staying on that sidewalk by the Loud Nelson lawn, which is why Russell and I were across the street in front of the house on the corner, and we were actually in front of somebody's house for about 3 weeks.
How did that go?
Well, I mean, it was less than ideal, but the people that rent that house were very kind, and we tried to be as respectful as possible. You know, it's a better situation where we are now at the other end with the fence in back, and we don't want to be in front of somebody's house. I mean, if you don't have to, so.
Fair enough. How's Loud Nelson Center with its fine bathrooms for the upper class treating you?
Right, I know. I'm still just shocked that they even have them closed for the children who play on the playground. And I'm interested, you know, when they say now that city property is for the people, the Laurel Street Park and Loud Nelson are two separate entities, yet they put the fence on the outside of Laurel Park, saying it's all part of Loud Nelson. If Loud Nelson wanted to put a fence up, they should have put it on the other side of the grass, you know, by the walkway Loud Nelson, because the park is the people's. So I'm wondering why they're still locking that after all these, I guess orders coming from the United States, you know, that the city property is for the people, and when you're not providing housing, that is for the people. Yet they're still coming and locking the gate at 10 p.m., which prevents anybody from using the lawn or any area of the park.
Unless you jump the fence, of course.
Unless you jump the fence, which we have had.
Is there much? Are there many people who do jump the fence that you've observed inside the park?
No, we actually were ambushed by two, older teens who came at night intoxicated and jumped the fence and jumped over the top of us, threatening to burn our tents down. They kicked over barbecue and kicked over some things in a wagon and tried to make mayhem, and one of them fell right on top of a sleeping woman as he jumped over the fence. Like, they jumped into Loud Nelson and then jumped back out over the top of us. And the actual young man started some fights and bit Russ. And the police were called by the neighbors, and the kid went to jail for public intox. Russell didn't want to press criminal charges because, you know, right now the system's not really there to help the kids. So that's not where the kid's going to get help.
And we've been listening to the satanic dialogue of...
This is Cooper. Thank you.
You're still out in front of the Palomar doing music.
Yes, we have. We've been... we still meet with the vets every Wednesday at 10 a.m. right across from the vets hall. And we sing our old war songs down there for an hour. And
anti-war songs as well.
Anti-war songs.
Fight 1, 2, 3. What are we fighting for?
Don't ask me. I don't give a damn. Next stop is Vietnam. It's 5, 6, 7. Open up the pearly gates. Well, ain't no time in asking why. Whoopee, we're all gonna die.
10 a.m. on Wednesday. And at night as well in front of the Palomar.
Yeah, we still sing.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any thoughts, sir?
Yeah, my name is Mendonca. Listen, you fascist, criminally insane pig dogs in City Hall. Not only do you leave the people alone in peace on the street, you dug up the Native American sacred burial ground, which is a goddamn huge criminal crime, which it's a hanging offense. Before this fucking war is over, you freaking piece of shit fascist motherfuckers, I'll see you hang before I die.
And we've been talking with
Mendonca.
Thank you, Mendonca.
Homeless stuff. You want to know about services or talk about stuff? Place to sit. Big
you got this flyer. It probably tells you. If you have it, there's some on the table over here. Tomorrow is the last day of the year, but there's going to be more next year, of course. There are two things happening tomorrow. One is a 12 o'clock canopy protest, makeshift sort of outdoor warming center at the where the Food Not Bombs meal is usually held downtown, which is a memorial to the people who have died this year, another memorial, particularly recent deaths like the death of Jerry, which happened, what, 3 or 4 days ago, was reported then. Yeah. I didn't know that very well. I talked to him once or twice. Anyway, and then tomorrow night, starting at 5:30, there's a parade called the DIY Do-It-Yourself Parade. It starts right in back of the Saturn Cafe, which is near the Bike Church, if you know where that is. And it's a walk all the way down Pacific Avenue. No permits, no apologies. Lots of fun. Guys on stilts, people in costumes. Bring your own self. You don't need a costume. That's 5:30 tomorrow. So it is right across from the Saturn Cafe in the back where the parking lot is.
And you'll hear perhaps in this broadcast later a little bit of from that parade. It was very, very small this year. Stilts guy did not show up. And there were some small costume folks, and they weren't small in size, but they were small in number. And it's gotten smaller and smaller each year, but I was surprised it even happened this year, but glad to see it. And I'll speak a little bit more about it perhaps later in the broadcast.
For the drugstore, you know where that is. That's all.
Plus, I have one thing to say. A lot of homeless people have cars. We should get up a fund from the city for cars, for gas, for people who live in their cars. Because I could definitely use some gas, and I know a lot of other homeless people who could definitely use the same.
I agree.
Where is it?
So there's a little out-of-date song, but maybe not so out-of-date. It's called the Jill Stein Rap Song.
You have a right to vote, but need a right to know all the candidates that you could be voting for. Yeah, you know Hill and Trump, but there's still one more. The only candidate left to win a corporate whore. Still Jill Stein. This still Jill Stein. Burn a fan, stop crying, because it's still Jill Stein. Don't step in line. Go with fine and fight. Let's get Jill Stein. The mic debate night. All Hill and Trump do is lie, so sign the petition to get Jill Stein airtime. Real, not fake. You can see it with the eyes. She's the only candidate that doesn't use hair dye. For Hill and Trump, wine and dine, Jill Stein strives. Not for the 1%, but for the 99. We need to transform to a brighter paradigm. And Jill Stein is our Optimus Prime. If you want to fix the climate in time like Bill Nye, your best to get the mic to Jill Stein. Jill was arrested protesting the Keystone Pipeline. Jill's been arrested protesting 3 times.
Ain't no power like the power of the people. That's the power of the people.
Don't stop.
To the people, not a lesser evil. That's why I am voting Jill for a Green New Deal.
The perfect version, Jill's the doctor to call. She's more green and appealing than Kermit the Frog. No more corporate control, make up the universal. Jill's green and radical, like a Ninja Turtle. Still, Jill Stein is the only candidate who wants Snowden back in her cabinet. Nukes and fossil fuels, she won't frack with them, and she won't just ease but erase student debt.
So,
bail out people instead of Dow Jones. Let's flip the script like Oliver Stone. Don't want no more money junkies running the country. Jill's the good, Hill's the bad, Trump's the ugly. Bernie was a beast, but Jill is the best. According to Mortal Technique and Cornell West, Hill and Trump supporters are like orc hordes. But Mark Lamont, Hill and never going to run our court.
Ain't no power like the power of the people. That's the power of the people.
Don't stop.
Ain't no power like the power of the people. That's the power of the people. Don't stop.
Power to the people, not a lesser evil. That's why I am voting Jill for a Green New Deal.
Democrats and the pubs are just corporate thugs. Green's the only one that doesn't take corporate funds. So screw red and blue, there's a green pill too. If you knew the truth, it's Jill you choose. Peace, planet, and the people over profit. Jill walks the walk, doesn't just talk shit. And instead of blaming Jill or Hill for a split vote, ranked choice votes in for a win-win. Put the 15 with the job guarantee. Legalize weed, stop TPP. Make foreign wars for oil obsolete with energy efficiency by 2030. You're freaked by the DNC leaks. What real democracy and peace? Get mean and green like TMNT and tell the oligarchy to get the hell up off me.
Ain't no power like the power of the people, cause the power of the people don't stop. Ain't no power like the power of the people, cause the power of the people don't stop.
Say what?
Don't stop.
Power to the people, not a lesser evil. That's why I am voting Jill for a Green New Deal.
Cover that, corporate media. When they tell you that resistance is futile, tell them where to shove it.
Power concedes nothing without a demand, and we are that demand.
The Green New Deal not only turns the tide on climate change, it revives the economy, and importantly, it makes the friggin' wars for oil obsolete.
So guys, we're here, got the great Matt Orfalia.
Wow, impressive.
If you've been watching his videos, y'all know he's got the Bernie's Bongos, he's got all the great videos.
Wow.
Absolutely,
hey.
Viva Jill Stein right here, buddy.
Oh, hey, how you doing?
Absolutely.
Wow, somebody knows me.
Absolutely.
Song is 3 years out of date at least. It nonetheless talks about issues more than simply attacking Trump, which I think is a losing strategy. And unfortunately, it's the one the Democrats are using. And too many progressives in Santa Cruz, well, I hope they're not doing it, but I'm afraid they are. We'll see what's actually happening as the year unfolds. Next is another report from, end of the year report from Las Vegas.
So I'm on the line with our intrepid reporter from, I think, still Las Vegas. Is that you? You still hanging out with the gamblers there?
Yeah, I'm in Las Vegas.
And what?
Yeah,
go ahead.
I won a tournament online for like June 20 entry fee into a $100,000 tournament, but my friend didn't win.
Well, work harder, will you please? Play more, and I...
Well, yeah, I'll be playing on my own account in the future. Mm-hmm. Well, anyway, she was trying to kick me out today, so I had to call the oinks. She was using force against me and doing my stuff out on the porch. I had no shoes on, so I had to push my way back in.
Wow. How long had you been there?
Well, since October.
Were you paying rent, or are you one of them freeloaders?
Yes, I pay rent. She gave me an email notice for eviction on the 12th of last month, so I can stay through the 12th.
Uh-huh.
I have given up my room for their comfort. I'm sleeping on the living room,
uh-huh,
as usual, the victim. And they're in my room. So I had to call the oinks.
Mm-hmm. And how did they...
I was outside in my socks, no phone. It's cold here.
How did they perform?
Afraid for my own personal safety. Well, of course, the oinks put me in cuffs right away.
Of course, yes, right.
And then they had a very, very difficult time identifying me because of my one-word name.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I was out there. I was warning them, you know, Terry stops only 20 minutes. I could sue you. And the one cop, you know, they know. I mean, he knew the law. But one cop was telling me, I'm going to go. The other cop, no, he can stay. She didn't even send a formal notice to the constable.
Hmm. Very good.
So I probably stayed here, but yeah, it was just hilarious. You know, I'm quoting the Constitution out of it.
Hmm.
My federal preemption under the Fifth as a court of militia. The whole time I'm in handcuffs. I did have to report to them that I usually carry pepper spray with me, but I left it in the backpack. So, of course, you know, they were very concerned about that, but they said that's not a crime, not necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
He tried to identify me for some other crime that was happening. Just get a call in or something.
They didn't catch your open carry was ignored.
Well, I kind of put it in my backpack at that point because I better be on the safe side.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's legal to carry it anyway. It's just pepper spray.
Uh-huh.
And it wasn't about that. It was about the fact that they just could not identify me.
How long did, what were you charged with or even on what suspicion?
Nothing. It's just that Terry stopped detained with the handcuffs.
Well, was there some law, is there some law in Nevada that requires you to ID yourself if you're presented to a cop?
We're supposed to give him your name. There was even a case on that. I gave him my name. It's your fault. The computers don't work that good. I gotta say, it was totally fine.
Well, I just know that in California, okay. I think it's still the case. You're not even required to give your name, although ACLU suggests
right.
You do. You can give your fingerprint.
It was a federal. It got to a federal case. The Hibble, I think it's called, in Nevada. It got to federal, so in the Ninth Circuit. So yeah, you do have to give them your name. They're telling me you can't lie. No, it's my full true name.
Mm-hmm.
and I got carded the other day in a casino for wearing a hoodie. And he just looked at him and, you know, my name is Free, and it's Free on the bus one that I got.
Mm-hmm.
Looks like me with the beard. My old ID is up for renewal, and I'm shaving that one. So he says, is that you? This was in the casino. So I've been, ID'd now twice in the same week.
Well, they know who you are. It may be time for you to come back here and start looking.
They know who I am. Yeah, I may have to go back to California, but I can't afford it. Can I sleep on your floor for a few days, Mama?
If you can find a spot on the floor, it's kind of...
Somewhere between all your tapes and recordings and papers. I know your background. I've never seen it, but I've seen your car.
Well, I'm afraid that's a sad indication of my living situation, too.
Robert's house is probably packed with stuff.
Mm.
So, well, what's up in anything else? You know, another thing is, okay, I bring it back to the homeless issues. That was fun, man. I got to get back into politics. On the bus the other day, the bus driver wanted me to look and see if this other guy had his eyes closed. You know how blind I am, so I got over that. But basically, they throw you off the bus here for sleeping.
Huh.
Nonsense. But you can ride a Greyhound, and everybody sleeps on a Greyhound. No problems.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it that the city buses harass the poor? There's no good reason. If you can get away with sleeping on a Greyhound, you should be able to sleep on a regular bus. It doesn't harm anyone, but kicking somebody off in the middle of nowhere harms them.
Mm-hmm. Well, we have to have some way to deal with the vagrant problem, my son. And
well, yeah, but that's, you know, not a legitimate... There's no power granted in the Constitution to regulate our consciousness. You know, they do the same thing in the library in Santa Cruz, but no lawyers come up on that one. That's an easy win on that. The people should be allowed to sleep whenever they want to. In fact, there was even a Greek religion of Asclepius, where they'd sleep on the floors and have snakes crawl over them. This whole idea that public sleeping is something wrong needs to be dealt with.
Time, place, and manner, although Boise may have something to say about that. So.
Well, time, place, and manner, yeah, but there has to be a rational reason why you're... denying them their right. It's a right under the 10th and the subsequent due process of the 14th. You have a right to sleep if you're tired. And then the guy got off at like a senior daycare, you know, center. So some old guy just couldn't keep his eyes open, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And they nap off. So why is he being harassed by them? This bus driver was a decent person, you know. She was OCD. She was telling everybody to keep their legs out of the aisles and honking at all the cars on the road. But just, I mean, it's a social thing or something that really activists need to step up behind and say people have, even at the Sub Rosa, they wouldn't let people. You know, I asked Wes about it. You know, why don't we just set aside a separate corner where people could sleep? No way.
Well, actually, I mean, during our meetings, some people fall asleep, and I don't wake them up, and neither does the guy.
Right. I mean, they don't hassle them like they do on the bus driver. Still, there's just some kind of a cultural thing that we harass people for their state of consciousness. I mean, you know, it's not something you can really control if you fall asleep, you know?
Well, I think it's not so much that you're going to be punished. It's regarded as a form of distraction from the ethic of the group you're in, where it's for a certain people are assembled for a certain purpose, and you can only allow to be there within those parameters. So, I'm not saying that's legitimate or that's constitutional.
Well, I mean, yeah, private individuals can, you know, discriminate, right? Our rights are only to protect us from the government. But the government's the one doing it in the buses. You know, the buses and the library are funded through the government, whereas the privately funded one, Greyhound, doesn't have sleep for sleeping. So there's no rational reason to hassle people for sleeping on a bus. It's merely oppression.
Well, I regard the same argument as you know, relevant and sleeping elsewhere, too. But
exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. As long as it doesn't really harm anybody, you know, if your legs are in the aisle, if you're sitting in a seat where, you know, it's not going to be a problem, then you should be allowed to sleep on a bus.
Well, I expect to see you pressing the case somewhere in the local courts.
I'm trying to get out of here. I want to move back because you can't grow here, you know. Mm. You go pot, so fuck that. You might want to live in an oppressive state. Although the rents are cheaper, I can find another place easy, and there's just a few rentals in Chico that I can afford, but here there's all kinds.
Well, don't get into too much conflict with your housemates. I find that's really psychologically, well, this is very uncomfortable for me when that happens.
So. Well, it's been that way. Well, this is the end of our friendship. I've been friends with her for 12 years, Carmen. She won the best costume, pirate costume at Free Radio in 2010.
Oh, well, I don't remember her, but...
You tried to hug her, of course. I told her to just tell her not until you're cleared of all charges. And you said, well, that would be never.
For heavens. Well, let's leave my sordid past behind, although I don't remember that.
Is there any protest going on? I could come back to Santa Cruz and do it.
Yeah, we're doing one today. We're setting up a canopy at the end of the DIY parade where there are actually in about an hour.
All right.
We're setting up a canopy in about an hour at noon to memorialize the dead and invite homeless people to come to a makeshift warming center, which isn't going to be very warm because it's outdoors, but it's, you know, it's one way of...
There's always that issue. They take the sleeping bags, both Parks and Recs and the police, they don't return them, and then people die in the cold. That's
yeah, we had the two homeless memorials about a week and a half ago. There were 84 people dead this year, according to the...
84?
And then that
80,
was...
It's usually only 50.
Yeah, that's what...
That's a huge increase.
It seems like it. And also, after that, four more people died in the subsequent week and a half.
Wow.
Or three more people died,
cold?
I think.
How many are from the cold? See, that's the thing you really have to find.
No, it's not clear. It's not clear, but...
I know. They want to keep it unclear because they're murder. That's murder. And all the citizens of Santa Cruz are also responsible. Mm-hmm. Aiding and abetting that by not standing up against it.
Well, Mr. Prosecutor, get back here and make the case. That's what I say.
I'm a court of militia under the fifth. I got Tom Hartman to admit that these were times of public danger on February 21st of 2019 because we have a traitor in chief in charge.
Well, he is.
Anyone to account.
He is our. I hear he's got some great investments. Actually, not. I hear he didn't. And provided you have enough capital to start with and to finish with, too. Well, let me leave it there.
Make a fortune.
He has already, I think. But I've got to get down
to
this
project. The canopy? So
yes, I'm going off to the canopy.
That's not really a protest, Robert.
Well, it's a canopy. It invites people also to bring their sleeping bags and so forth. So I don't know that it's more of kind of a cross between a protest and a, I don't know, a float.
All right.
A non-float.
Freedom sleepers prove that you can sleep on the sidewalks as long as you don't obstruct it. Always leave some panels open. So
well, I didn't prove it because they were driven away by phony tickets. So.
Well, at the end, when they started doing it every day, as long as you're only there one day a week.
Right, well,
that is not sufficient.
We can convince homeless people to sleep one day a week. Yeah, I mean, that's not likely to happen.
Just have seven different spots. Mm-hmm. There's plenty of protests in Santa Cruz, the golf course, the city hall, the county building. And there's that map where you can lay down legally.
Well, we will be awaiting your return and the full analysis that you will give us. As before.
I want to do a part-time protest for students with debt as well.
That sounds good. I'm going to go. I got to go.
All right, Robert.
Call me again, though, but I mean, right now I am time limited, so.
I've pretty much covered everything.
All right.
All right. I'll see you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
And up Salinas way, there was a, well, this came over the phone lines, and I'm passing it on to you.
Rita Acosta is with the Salinas Homeless Union, and Rita, you tried to sleep, and you got busted for sleeping. Sort of.
Yes, I did. And I'm also, the Salinas Municipal Code Section 140-030 allows persons to camp in the public's right of way. And that's where I'm camping. But they didn't charge me for that. They got me for sleeping in the park when I'm not sleeping in the park.
So they now claim the park includes the sidewalk?
Yes, there's a code for us to sleep in the sidewalk.
Well,
surviving, as you know, is a crime for those who are below a certain level of income. You should have the dignity to simply disappear and die. Try talking a little further away from the phone. Let me see, because it's distorting. Let me see if I can hear you. Say something.
Can you hear me better now?
A little further away.
Can you hear me now?
About the same. A little further away.
Okay, now?
Maybe that's a little better. Try that distance. How many cops were involved in this ticket?
There was two officers.
Okay. And what time did they come and harass you? And what did they say to you when they came up?
That we needed to leave. We needed to get our property and get out of the park. They said, excuse me, we are not on the park. We are on the sidewalk. And the city of Salinas Code says we are able to be here.
To which they replied,
no, you've got to leave. And when they came back, if I was still here, I would be receiving a ticket. So I told them, well, give me a ticket now then. He said, no, we'll be back. So they did. They came back.
When did they come back?
We were in front of our suites also today for the second day in a row. Which the park is clean, but I'm on the sidewalk, but they said I'm on the park.
Now, how long before they came back?
They came back like a good hour later.
And how many of you were there in the first
time? Seven when they came.
And when the first time they came?
Seven.
So did anybody leave as a consequence of their warning? Say that again, although a little more quietly.
I said it was just me and another young lady that was sleeping here on the sidewalk.
I gotcha.
We're both still here.
Oh, so you stayed.
Of course I did. It's my right.
Yeah, I'm right. So they didn't either arrest you, give you a second ticket, or bring you a cup of coffee?
No, they gave me a ticket for sleeping in the park and for a violation of probation because I'm on probation for a driving with suspended license. I'm like, I've been interacting with the police for 2 years. And this is the first time I've ever gotten a ticket for violation of probation because I'm standing up for my rights.
Now, if you were sleeping, why did they claim you were driving on a suspended license? Maybe sleeping on it.
They got me for a violation of probation, and I'm on probation for driving with suspended license.
I understand. I got you. Let me ask you.
The law, because I'm sleeping in a park, so they say. Breaking the law, it means a violation of my probation.
How far away from the park were you on the sidewalk?
Excuse me?
This is a sidewalk that adjoins the park, or is a street away from the park?
I'm on the corner of North Main and Iris Drive.
Uh-huh.
It's on the sidewalk. It's at the where the stoplight signs are.
And is that, I mean, how far do you have to walk to actually enter the park from there?
It's a pretty big distance. I'm on the sidewalk the Fort Cooper. Where the lights are, where you push your button, you cross the street, that's where I'm at. So that is city sidewalk.
And would you say it's at least, I don't know, a block away from the park, a half a block?
I'm actually like right at the driveway entrance of the park.
I gotcha. And did anybody in your group have a video camera or a phone that took pictures of this location you were at and the police and so forth?
I did take a video of where I'm located at. So this was, and two, a couple of days ago, the news came and did an article on me that I was out here. So, I mean, I've been out here for a couple of days on the sidewalk once again.
And how's the temperature at night in Salinas? And is it actually below freezing, or are you just saying very cold?
Very cold. And two, even when it was raining, we were asked to take our tents down, and they wanted us to stand in the rain. I'm like, that ain't going to happen. I'm a human being.
Right on. And so did you have your tents up this morning when the cops came at 6?
At 6 o'clock, yes, I did. Did it affect? I was
sleeping because we were able to film 7 to 7, right?
Right, that's the people here in Santa Cruz are not necessarily familiar with the ordinance in Salinas. Can you describe it for us?
Our city ordinance says from 7 p.m. to 7 a.m. we're able to have tents and sleep. But 7 a.m. in the morning, we need to take our tents down and do whatever we're supposed to do.
And are the police respecting the nighttime part of that, or are they going after folks in the park anyway?
Oh, no, no, no. They don't respect it at all. To them, you know, they're the police. They're the law. They're going to wake up at 1:30 in the morning, got to go, rain or shine. They're having a the park. They will just 2 times in 1 day, in 1 evening. And this is at 1:30 in the morning.
Now, is this harassment limited to you and other Santa Cruz union members, or does it extend across the city to others as well?
It's a city ordinance, so it's for all homeless, which, once again, if you go down to the Solidarity area, you see tents up, people there, day, night, all day long, rain or shine, they have their tents up, they're not asked to put the tents down, they're there, on the sidewalk. On all of Solidad, Big Street. And, you know, I'm like, why are we not able to sleep in peace?
Now, would you think, it sounds like, of course, obviously, it sounds like a politically targeted deal, but what's your analysis? Is this coming from the higher echelons, or is it a case of beat cops who don't like you?
Well, yes and no. I'll say yes, due to the fact Sherwood Park is one of the cleanest campsites that was here, and we're the only campsite that was shut down. And still not allowed to come back in. Solidad Street is a total mess. It's a hazard. And they have a sweep, and people are allowed to go back. But we get harassed daily. Every single day we're being harassed.
And for those who don't know, Solidad Street is what's called Chinatown, where there are, maybe 100 people camping in tents and so forth?
Oh, yes, yes. You know, and what's even more shameful is, Jill Allen, that runs the Dorothy Soup Kitchen, she voted for the ordinance to pass, long as it would not affect her business. So once again, I have to say, why are there tents out there? Because they're not to affect her business, the ordinance, you know, not in that area, because that's where her place of business is, nonprofit Dorothy Soup Kitchen.
Now, in the past, you've had some legal help from attorney Prince, who came in from Berkeley to help. Is any of that in the offing this time?
In the past we did, and we did a restraining order on the city of Salinas to leave us alone. So in Chinatown, in 2016 when we did that, it did work. When we tried to use that in July for Sherwood Park, it didn't do it. Due to the rodeo, it was in July. So they're not going to let us mess with Salinas' money, you know?
So you think it was purely a business-oriented decision that had nothing to do with a consistent application of the law?
Of course it is. Of course. Mm-hmm. I mean, when I'm doing my spell testing, is on Main Street. It's a well-known street in Salinas. A lot of businesses and everything. But, you know, they passed this code. They passed the code for us just to be here. So I'm just trying to follow the law. I'm trying to follow the law and she won't let me.
Mm-hmm. Now, you did this initially with 7 other people, and then there was only you and 1 other left?
There's still people, but they're camping in the park, and they're saying nobody should be in the park. So, I'm trying to follow the rules by not sleeping in the park, even though Martin vs. Boise says I have a right to. You know, again, I'm on probation. I'm not trying to go to jail. So I came to the sidewalk. We're doing allowance to be, but yet I got ticketed for sleeping in the park, which that is excessive fault.
Right. Now, how many?
On the sidewalk.
Were there people with you also on the sidewalk, or were they still in the park at 6 and then?
Yes. The young lady that was next to me was not ticketed either.
So they only ticketed you. Interesting. So was anyone else other than you ticketed? And did other people stay and continue to sleep with you even after the ticketing? First of all, when the police first approached, how many of you were there? You probably answered this already, but tell me again.
It was just me and the young lady, me and Irene Chavez.
Oh, Okay, and so you and Irene were there, and then when you and Irene stayed there, they came back an hour or two later, whenever. How much of this? How much? Say that again. Now, how much of the sidewalk were you and Irene taking up?
Unless there's people still able to walk by.
Could a disabled person in a wheelchair have gotten by?
Yes. A disabled person in a wheelchair would still be able to pass by.
Okay. And you took photos of this, you took video. Have you posted this online for those of us who aren't there to take a look at it?
So I do have video of it.
You think what?
I was waiting for this light to come through. He was going to be like a
witness.
Witness, but he wasn't able to make it this morning. He had other obligations.
Yeah, you told me that you two had spoken about it, and you weren't too happy about that.
Well, due to the fact that he was so going to be here. If he would have been here, we would have gotten video.
Yeah.
You know, he's a very busy person, you know, and he's only one person also.
Yeah, no. I'm having problems, too. We have a protest going on here in Santa Cruz today, and I can't do it because I got a fever, so I should probably stay around here. And, you know, so that's why one of the reasons I'm talking to you is I hope I can pass on some of this information on Thursday.
I even try to get a hold of the media here. But, you know, Serena is like a crab. I mean, they say no one says that everybody else knows what it is, so we can't get the news media or anything like that. So,
it's always a great struggle. It's true. It really is. Because you're dealing with a media that doesn't want to believe it. And even when they see it, their editors don't want to print it. And you know the whole story. You've been through it for year after year. What is your plan now? I mean, you're facing a... Can they violate your probation for this kind of a citation? Is the likely outcome, although, of course, you can never be sure.
Excuse me?
What do you think they're likely to do?
What they're going to do is keep harassing like they've been doing.
So you think they'll even take this to court, or you think it'll get dropped?
They'll take it to court due to the fact they're trying to stop people. And they know, I'm not going to lay back. I'm a shouter, and I'll fight for my life any way I can and every way I can.
Mm-hmm. Any help forthcoming from Anthony Prince or anybody else?
I told him at the moment what's going on, but my court will be January the 6th.
And that's the arraignment, right? Okay, so I'll mention that, and I'll mention that no one ever wants to come to these fucking arraignments, I'll tell you. But what do we know? What time the arraignment is?
I get frustrated due to the fact that we are already on housing list and everything. Irene Chavez also will be housed. And as soon as the moving apartment's open, she was able to get an apartment there. But they don't understand. It's a process. We have to wait. There's no shelter or anything here for people because they're full right now. So where do they really want people to go? I mean, we need some place to sleep. We need a safe place to sleep.
Of course. They want you to disappear and get out of town or...
No, they don't want us out of sight. They want us inside, on the sidewalk.
that are on display to the rest of the community, you know? And it's really shameful that Salinas would put residents on the sidewalk. I lived here with Salinas over 50 years.
You don't have to convince me. It's true.
Yeah, you know, just sometimes it just feels that way because we're always having to explain why. We're here, homeless, due to the fact that we're affordable housing, you know, and our city mismanages funds, not our fault.
Dig it.
We're here for being just trying to live.
So, are there many cases like yours going to court, as far as you know, in Salinas?
And lots of people have been cited with ticketing for camping. And two, again, Martin versus Blaze passed, so they're still giving tickets. They're still making us out to be criminals. So how can the Salinas City break the law to enforce the law?
What do the public defenders tell you about this kind of stuff? Or what do they tell homeless people? Because in theory, they have the argument that Martin versus Boise says.
Oh, when everybody goes to court, everybody gets fined, can't pay the fine, and they go to jail. So, again, I have to ask, is that why Monterey County, why did Salinas build a bigger jail? Is that how they plan on housing the homeless? We have a big giant jail now. It looks like a prison. A juvenile hall now looks like a jail.
Here you go.
And we got a brand new police station opening up, you know? But where's our shelter? That is not to be seen yet. And that one only has 100 people, and there's over 2,000 homeless here in Salinas, California. So what are we going to do then?
Come in.
Salinas with the homeless problem going out of control? They wanted that,
You're right.
They got it, but they don't want to do anything for the problem that they created. Chinatown, they put the people on the sidewalk, they created that mess. Now, the way in Sherwood, they put people on the sidewalk, do they want the same thing to come out of Chinatown, everybody on the street? You know, the reasons, we had the homeless community out there working together, cleaning it up. They shut us down, and they created a mess out there.
I'm going to interrupt now because you got more to say, but unfortunately I've got a visitor who's just arrived. Let me get back to you later, Rita. And we've been talking with Rita Acosta of the Salinas Homeless Union. Any final words, Rita?
Anybody else that's homeless, don't let the city take over you. Fight for your rights. We're human beings and we deserve that right to live.
In the meantime, demand a jury trial. I'll talk to you later.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Rise up the starry bell, King James on his name. Rise up the starry bell for his glory and his fame. He joined the transformed union so workers could be free. He fought for Irish freedom, for the rights of you and me. James Connolly came from Scotland, a rebel to the core. He wanted not just freedom, but socialism and more. He said when we gain our freedom from England's cruel hands, we'll have to fight the bankers, we'll have to make a stand. So rise up the starry bell in James Connolly's name. Rise up the starry bell for his glory and his fame. He joined the transport union so the workers could be free. He fought for Irish freedom, for the likes of you and me. He held his line for liberty in the GPO. He held his line for freedom and he would not let it go. Well, the Brits, they bombarded them and smashed them brick by brick. He held his line for freedom and a socialist republic. So rise up the starry bell in James Connolly's day. Rise up the starry bell for his glory and his fame. He joined the transport union so the workers could be free. He fought for Irish freedom, for the likes of you and me. They took him from the hospital and those who were there. Well, they set his lips at fire on that Easter morn. And the bullet pierced his heart and Irish Martha was born. What will his legacy be now in this land of mine, where nothing has a reason and little has a rhyme? We fought the O's in Wexford, we took out the blackened hands. Now we fight the bankers and their greasy hands. So rise up the starry bell in James Connolly's name. Rise up the starry bell for his glory and his name. He joined the transport union so workers could be free. He fought for Irish freedom, for the likes of you and me. So rise up the starry bell, pinch it's Conley's name. Rise up the starry bell for his glory and his fame. Rise up the starry bell, pinch it's Conley's name. Rise up the starry bell for his glory and his fame. So rise up the starry bell, pinch it's Conley's name.
And as you might gather, that's the Starry Plow. Brief story is that James Connolly left school for working life at the age of 11, took a role in Scottish and American politics, member of the IWW, the Industrial Workers of the World, and founder of the Irish Socialist Republican Party. With James Larkin, he was centrally involved in the Dublin lockout of 1913, as a result of which the two men formed the Irish Citizen Army. That year, he opposed British rule in Ireland as one of the leaders of the Easter Rising of 1916. He was executed by firing squad following the rising. And there's lots more at Wikipedia. Fragments from the Food Not Bombs meal Sunday.
Okay, it's about 6:05. No, actually 5:50, talking with Lion. And Lion, you say that you had to borrow $5 tonight because a gift card that you gotten for $10 were given out to the downtown streets teams and such didn't work?
Well, I don't know about those ones, but the one that I got a couple years back that I was saving for emergencies, and I ran into an emergency, and I went to the Starbucks, it's a Starbucks gift card, and they said that the law changed 2 months ago. And
because
I mentioned there was a law about getting $10 back on gift cards, and I was able to do that within the last few years whenever I needed that. And then, so now when I went and tried to do it, it didn't work. So for anybody who has gift cards, be aware that, you know, you can still get the food unless I think you can call a corporate, she said, and then they probably send you a check or whatever.
So that should help in a few days or maybe a few weeks.
Yeah.
We've been talking with
Lion.
Excellent.
Thanks.
So I'm talking with Paul.
Yes.
Paul, we're taking you to the day and night storage run by Brent Adams about 6 o'clock on December 29th. We have a light rain, which kind of started more heavily. And you describe your situation. You've been outside in the Aptos area for about 5 years.
Correct. 5 years at this tent location for about 3 months. And yesterday I noticed that somebody came by, stole all my tarps, and damaged the aluminum framework piping of my tent, left all of my blankets and everything there, but of course out, so now it's out in the rain.
And this, in the course of the last 5 years, this has never happened to you, even though your camp is it open? Is it visible from the outside?
No, it's not visible. It's well hidden this time off of the railroad tracks. This incident similarly took place a year ago when my tarps were taken off of the tree stump by the property owner, like in the sheriff's. I can understand that, but this time I don't know who did it, and it's disturbing.
So you've been outside. When you say the tree stump, give us a few more details of that.
Okay, the tree stump in Aptos, very large old tree stump. I hauled it out. I can stretch out it, and I had a tarps on the top because it was cut about 10 or 12 feet all the way across on the top. It was a beautiful home for a year, but the property owners called the sheriffs, and I understand we had to leave because of just complaints of me going in and out.
You were running the tree, perhaps?
Yeah, possibly. Sometimes going into the property, using their property to get in. I couldn't go out some other way. It's very hard to get to location. So
your hair was too long for their taste?
No, it was just my coming in and out too much.
You were trespassing over their property.
Yeah, could be. But this time I'm not trespassing. I just thought somebody came by and took the tarps and damaged the pipes of my tent.
Now, were you were near the same place where you had previously been around the... I'm still not clear I understand what this tree stump thing is, but...
Well, the tree stump was... I left there a year ago. I was there for a year. I've been out of there for 1 year, but...
You moved to another place.
Yes, and I've been...
In Aptos.
Still in Aptos at this location. I've been there for 3 months, and nobody's been bothering me at all, because you can't be seen. It's well hidden, but for some reason...
How is Aptos as a place for folks outside?
It's not too bad if you know how to hide your things and be proper. offer, be respectful of other people, and that works well with me.
In fact, your previous experience in Aptos, did you spend most of your time at home or at Stump, if you will, or did you spend a lot of time out, you know, up out and about?
Oh, I would never hang out there unless it's holidays where there's no buses. But otherwise, I'm always leaving in the morning, 6 or 7, no matter where I am, and I take off and I come to Santa Cruz or hang out some other place, and I just go back late at night. I don't stay there during the day.
So, I think we can actually do this. Here we go. So I'm taking you to the warming center where, well, it's not the warming center. There is no warming center tonight, even though it's raining. I'm taking you to the day and night storage, which is open, actually, day and, it's not really open day and night, but it's available if you get there during the morning, 2 hours. I think it's, so there's 6 to 8 or 7 to 9 or 8 to 10. You can ask Brent. Maybe I'll ask Brent, too. And then the evening, it's, I think, 5 to 7. And so he's still open because it's not yet 7. And it's right here at the end of Felker Street, where a number of folks are also camping, although that's been a problem for Brent because he's trying to maintain a I ain't no homeless lover, or at least I ain't no camper lover, or some such thing. And so, however, he's going to help you tonight, that's for sure. At least that's what he says. So let's check it out and see how it goes.
I've been offered these warming centers. I just always turn them down because I've always had the place, but now I don't know what to do. It's
now
frightening.
Now you need it. Yeah, I hear you, man. We've been talking with
Paul.
Thanks, Paul.
And here is a slightly earlier piece from the same day.
All right, well, I'm down here in the rain at a Food Not Bombs meal at 5 after 5, and we're talking with
FJ.
And FJ, are you out in the rain these days?
Well, we'll see. Tonight, a kind person had given me a little money. I might be able to afford one night for a motel or something.
$120, bro?
No, $30.
Exactly a $30 room in Santa Cruz?
$35 or something.
Wow, amazing. In the winter, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, you know, maybe at that rate I might be able to get two nights. I don't know. I mean, in the past, but... You know, things are always opening and closing. Little windows, you know.
Outside like, last night?
Last night? I have trouble remembering. Yeah, I was outside. Yeah, I'm outside pretty much every night, yeah.
Any bothers from police or hassles?
We have conversations because, I did get a little pat down this week about because, you know, I've been kind of doing something stupid, but...
Doing what stupid? If you wish to say.
Doing what stupid? You know, acting out my frustrations. But
expressing your anger, your irritation, your rage?
You could say rage, yeah. But yeah, that would be, I should,
what have you got to be enraged about? The world is beautiful.
Okay, all right, thank you for that. Yeah. Yeah. But the one thing I want to say is I'm grateful that there's a little food here today because I almost didn't make it, you know, it was 3 o'clock. I said, oh my gosh, I have to get down there. I wasn't here last week and the week before. You know, I'm part of this union. I have to just show up here and here.
Where's your food?
It's here.
Well, go get it.
Yeah, right.
Before
right.
It's gone.
Yeah, okay. Thanks.
We've been talking with...
FJ.
Thanks, FJ. We're talking to an observer of the Food Not Bombs organization. Keith McHenry in the rain is trying to organize his van, which contains all the food accoutrements, the tables, the chairs, the signs, the banners. Huh?
Don't you mean accoutrement?
Perhaps so. Merci, madame. Votre français, c'est très bien, très bien. In any case, Fox, what have you observed so far?
What have I observed so far? I've just observed them attempting to fit all these things in there, and it looks like Keith has a map inside his brain of how the van works, and everyone else is just sort of following that.
Indeed,
which
is fine until they shoot the leader, of course.
Yes, which is fine until he disappears mysteriously. So, you know.
But until then, all seems to be at least kind of working as long as he doesn't collapse, as has happened on a number of occasions.
Indeed.
I know that you've been working on trying to get support for the upcoming possible encampments, maybe building occupations, protests at City Hall. How's that going?
It's actually, the waters are very tepid at the moment. There's not a lot of responses.
But you're still trying, putting out the word.
We'll see.
Anything, any reports from our favorite group, MH Can, which you have some association with?
No, there's nothing there that I can really report. One of my friends who worked there recently quit, so I no longer have that connection.
Now, why did that person quit, or is it a secret?
MH Can, as many may know who are listening to this, is Mental Health Clients Action Network, which is kind of a supposedly peer-run group, which actually is better than any of the other psychiatric so-called support services, or at least that's the... I haven't really polled what services exist recently, but that's been my understanding in the past.
Actually, don't know. I have theories, but...
What are your theories about this?
These are classified theories.
Oh, I see. Insufficiently high classification for me?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not that high anyway.
Yeah, you're not at that clearance level.
Pretty low, actually. How low can I go? I don't know.
Yeah.
Any reports about what you've seen here today in the middle of the rain here at this soggy meal? Although I see hot water for washing dishes, strangely enough, in the middle of the rain. Or is it hot, or is that my imagination?
I mean, there's steam coming off of it, so one would assume it's hot.
Let's see. It's warm, for sure. All right. Interesting. Keith McHenry is preparing the buckets for washing the dishes.
These are buckets.
He's just getting... He's the bucket man. He's the bucket brigade here.
Okay. Now,
he doesn't have anything to say. I'm a little to say, and I'm not going to say any more.
And yesterday on Coral Street, I stopped to chat with some folks who were, well, standing in front of bunches of clothing and a few tents near the railroad tracks, and we had this conversation.
2:35 on 1st January 2020, talking with
Billy Lowry.
Billy, we're here at the Coral Street where it intersects with Lime Kiln and the campsite of yours.
Yeah, I've been at the corner. I was down the street. They came this morning on New Year's. I guess to prove a point, they wrote me a ticket.
You're not safe at any time.
No, yeah. And tomorrow they'll be coming with a truck to take anything that's left here.
They're going to put it in storage for 90 days as they're supposed to?
No. They're going to do like they did all six times with me. Throw everything away, but pick out what they want.
Describe for me what you've got here.
Just my clothes, that's all. Ain't no use to having... expensive things, because if they do, they start trying to find out if it's stolen, or especially if you got a good looking bike, they're all over. They see five bikes back here that I'm fixing up for people. They went through the whole numbers. And they didn't take one. So I'm not worried about it, because as soon as I get a bike, if I buy a bike off somebody, I ask the officer, would you run them numbers? If it's stolen, I ain't got nothing to do with it. I'm giving you the bike.
Looks like a lot of clothes you got here. Is this, how are you able to haul all this from the, you did this in a number of trips, I guess.
Yeah. So these clothes, I take them to the wash out, wash them. If I deem them good, then I give them back to them.
Right on. What are you going to do? You're not going to have time to do that before tomorrow, not on New Year's Day.
No. Hopefully somebody come pick me up tonight, go to the washout, if it's open.
If it's open. I have no idea if it is or not.
The college one should be open.
Oh, okay.
So I'm going to spend another $47. I spent $47 2 weeks ago. The Capitola, just to come home so it can rain and get it all soaking wet.
I remember. I think we talked about it.
Yeah.
I think I remember. Anything new happened in the last week here?
Other than the police been arresting us for the last 3 days, the thing came and took, the big truck came and took some people's property.
Right.
They didn't come with the the digger. Last time they came, the first time they came with the digger and
the scoop.
Yeah, the scoop, and took Shorty's tent.
Remember, you talked about the three women who lost all their property.
Yeah. That was wrong. So, she had her ID in there and everything, her medication. They did that.
So I see that there's some tents still set up. Are they making people take down their tents, or what's going on with that?
Well, they ain't saying nothing about taking down our tents. They just gave us a warning if we're here the next day. Everything that's still here goes, no matter what.
How many cops are involved?
Six.
And all of them, you recognize any of them?
All, yeah, the same ones.
Names of any of them?
No, I can't remember. They don't mean nothing.
Anything, is there much of a community developing here? Are people supporting each other, or is it people worrying about their own stuff being taken, or both?
Well, they would try to put a leash on us, and they tightened it up, and attitudes start flaring up. There's been some commotion, but all in all, we still sticking together. Come here. We still sticking together.
All right. And we've been talking with?
Billy Lowry.
Thanks, Billy. So a Goodwill guy went after you because you put back your own coat on.
Yes, that
after
I wore in the store.
Tell me a little bit. Repeat that story a little bit for me.
I went to the Goodwill. I was wearing my coat. I had shorts on. It was nighttime. It was cold. I had only $5. I asked her if I could buy a pair of pants for $5. They were $8.99. She said no. So as I left the Goodwill, I put my own jacket back on. Yes, I stole a pair of pants because I was cold. The pair that I was trying to buy that she wouldn't take the money for. He goes, can you give back our jacket as I'm walking out the door? I said, it's not my jacket. Watch the cameras. Ask the lady. I came in this jacket. No, that's our jacket. I just kept walking. He followed me out the door, tackled me, handcuffed me so hard that I bled through on both wrists, called the cops, lied to them and said I was trespassing because he said he asked me before. I'd never been asked to leave that store because I always go there and buy things.
Which Goodwill was?
The one over by the clock tower. Would you say that? Yeah, over by the clock tower. I showed the cops even my wrists that were bleeding. The cop was appalled and took the cuffs off me. And told me that I should never shop there. Well, obviously I'm not welcome back. But he was saying I was trespassing because he couldn't get the cops there just by saying I stole a pair of pants. He had to tell him I was trespassing. But the cop said, did you ask her to ever leave before today? Mm-hmm. He said, yes. I said, no, you didn't. And the other lady said, no, I don't think we did. Okay, so
name of this guy is?
He's the security guard there.
Do we know his name or what does he look like?
I don't know his name. Do you know what it is?
No,
but he's always the same one. They only have one, and he goes to all of them apparently, so he's not always
white,
there.
Black?
Hispanic.
Hispanic?
Yeah, he's Hispanic. He was very rude to me, like he wouldn't uncuff me, even though my wrists were bleeding, till the cop got
How
there.
How are your
wrists doing?
Yeah. Good God, man. Yeah, you just showed me your right wrist. It's got scabs on it.
Wow.
Want to give me your first name?
Kristen. Yeah.
And
he was trying to get the cop to take me to jail, and the cop goes, I don't usually take people to jail for stealing a pair of pants from Goodwill. And he said, if she's trespassing and you have it on paperwork, so he goes and he looks, but there's no paperwork because he never asked me to leave before. So I signed new paperwork, so I can't go back there now, which is okay, but there was no past paperwork because he never asked me to leave because I'd never stolen there before.
Well, I bet that taught you a good lesson.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's like, and so she told me that if I wanted pants next time to go to the church and give me a voucher, I said, how long would that take? Oh, about a week. So I'm freezing cold at night, and I have $5. I'm trying to buy a pair of pants, but I'm going to wait a week to get a pair of pants to be warm. Does that make any sense?
In Santa Cruz, it's the standard operating practice. How long have you been in Santa Cruz now?
10 years. I'm from Santa Barbara.
How long on the streets?
Eight.
in Santa Barbara housed or unhoused?
Well, I was basically housed until then. My daughter went to Berkeley, and I lost my housing because my daughter came to Berkeley, and I needed to spend my money on her college, so. And then I came here to be closer to her. Actually, I wasn't coming here, but I stopped here and got robbed when I got off the bus to get lunch and couldn't leave here. So then when I could leave here after I got my phone numbers and stuff together, I already kind of got settled here, and I met a couple of nice people that took me in, so.
And you're outside pretty much now.
Yeah, I live in a tent.
And how is tent life here? And is it on Coral Street? Or?
No, I live in the Poconips, but the police and the Rangers like to come up there and harass us. They like to come up and the Rangers will slash my tent. They have cut it a couple of times, no warning. They did. Another time they gave me a 3-day notice, but the next day when I came home, my tent was just gone. My bike, my trash, everything. That's how you know it's the Rangers, because no one's going to come steal your tent and your trash.
You're very considerate of them.
So considerate. They kick us out every couple months and threaten us and steal our stuff. I saw them taking my food. They took my food box. It was
They're hungry. Come on.
Yeah, they needed my cereal. They even said, the one said to the other, look, it's not even open. You can take it home. Need it.
Share and share alike.
I love sharing with the Rangers. They're kind to me. And he said to me, this is what he said to me, too. I said, how come when I camp by myself, which isn't really safe because I'm a female, you leave me alone, but when I camp with somebody, you harass me? And he said, because when you guys congregate, you spread diseases.
Well, that's obvious from the very word go. I mean, I know that. You know that. We all know. That's common knowledge.
We're congregating.
Jews both.
I said, you mean like sexually transmitted diseases? And he said, no, just diseases. You know, scabies, lice, flus, strep, staph.
So he's really doing it as a public health benefit.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I see.
But if we just go off in the woods by ourselves, as safe as females, you know, and don't bother anyone, then we won't congregate, so we won't spread diseases.
Did you use the Ross camp or the second Ross camp?
I don't like cops enough to hang out at those because they harass them more than they do when you're off by yourself. I try to be as low-key as possible. I like to clean up my trash. I like to stay away from Rangers and cops because I like to stay in one place more than a week, you know. And I did have a dog till somebody kidnapped it. And
name of your dog?
Pounder. And it was just hard to have to move my dog all the time because then he didn't know where home was, you know. So if I don't have to move very often, then that's better for me, obviously, for anybody. Even if I have to go way up in the Poconipses, which I've resorted to doing because I get harassed less there.
Do you have a phone?
I do, but I just got it. I've had one stolen at least a month as when I've tried to get a phone. It's the cops have taken them and not giving them back. They don't show up in property. They're the same with the Rangers. My money disappears in property. It doesn't go on my books. It just disappears.
Last time this happened?
I just got out of jail over the Goodwill thing.
How long were you in jail?
3 days because I was kicking drugs and I was too sick to stay. And I started doing drugs on the streets because people do drugs on the streets and you get depressed. And so, you know, you get depressed and you do drugs.
You were arrested for the Goodwill item.
I was for the warrant. I had a warrant for stealing food from a Safeway.
So you're just constantly stealing food and clothing. What's wrong with you?
I know, right? Bad seed, I guess.
So stay away from my Safeway.
It's kind of funny because that's all I've been caught stealing was food and clothing, yes. And not even a lot of it. It was like a bag of chips and a sandwich, I think.
You're just a public nuisance or menace, might even say. So you're down here on court. What brings you here today? Is it...
my friends. That's my friend Billy, and he helped me out with clothing because my clothing and just all got thrown away by the Rangers. And each time that they do this, I get to start over, and I don't always have money. And some of my friends are kind enough to give me some clothing. So sometimes people donate it here. They'll drop it off. I'm going to go closer to my purse right here because it's kind of hard to leave my purse on the street, and people tend to
Walk away with it? It walks away?
Yeah. And, I get that other homeless people are desperate and need things, too, so I understand when things get stolen. It's just frustrating because it would be better if we were a community and we could help each other. Because if I have extra of anything, I'm willing to share, you know?
Is any of that happening?
It does.
You're talking about Billy helping you out.
He helps me. We try to help each other. There's a community of us that really do help each other. I mean, to my detriment, I will give people clothes on their back. I gave a lady last week, I had a pair of pants under my pants because it was cold, you know, like leggings, and she needed pants, so I gave her the pants I had on top. Well, last night my shoes broke, and she took her shoes off and gave me shoes because I had to walk, and she didn't. She was staying here tonight. So, you know, thank you. So we literally will help each other to, you know, as much as we possibly can. But there's a few bad seeds anywhere. In the public, you know, in the best housing and the worst housing, there's some people that just aren't good people. And there are people that are good people.
And some people deliver hamburgers.
And those are wonderful people. Although it's
munching out
vegan because my mom's a hippie. But I know that someone else will be hungry, so I take it and pass it along, you know? And I never say no to people that are trying to be kind to me. I just say thank you and, you know.
And I say thank you to those who are giving me information for the broadcast.
You know what I learned is one day is I didn't used to take things from people because I felt guilty or like I maybe didn't deserve it or something. But what somebody told me one day was when you don't take something that I give you that I really want you to have, you're taking away my joy of being able to help or give you something. So I decided to just say thank you and then pass it to someone who needs it. Because there's always somebody out here that needs it, and why should I do that? If someone really wants to give you something, you know, why would you be ungrateful, you know?
I will pass on this wisdom to the next people. When you figure out your phone number, give me a call so I can stay in touch and hear about your latest adventures, if you want.
No problem.
And we've been talking with?
Kristen Sanchez. I have four daughters, too, that are all doing wonderful in the world. So if I raised four good children, I can't be that bad, right? I mean,
no, you're a very, very bad woman. I've got my eye on you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Kristen.
Shut up.
Yeah, well.
She's a psychologist now and a teacher.
All right. Well, that's
and
great.
And I have a daughter who's a fashion designer in New York City, too.
Eat that burger before it gets cold.
Vegan.
Vegan? Wow.
To round off the broadcast, since we're reaching the end of this particular netcast, actually, here's an article which you may already have read in Tuesday's Santa Cruz Sentinel. It's actually a reprint, of course, from another paper. Sentinel has very few original articles. This is by Brooks Stagg, Southern California News Group. Six things to watch for in 2020, from key court cases to clearing criminal records. It will be another big year for cannabis policy. As California enters its third year of legal recreational cannabis sales, many expect upcoming new laws, high-profile court cases, and major criminal justice reforms to shake up the industry. Marijuana advocates are wary after a challenging second year, but most also are hopeful that changes in 2020 will put them in a better position a year from now. Don't count me as a part of that group. We always knew it would be an uphill battle, said Robert Flannery of Dr. Rob Farms, a cannabis cultivation company based in Desert Hot Springs. But there are very few people who are not generally optimistic about the cannabis industry. Here are six things for Californians to watch for when it comes to cannabis in 2020. 1. Deliveries go to court. In April of 2019, one county and 24 cities sued the California Bureau of Cannabis Control over a rule that permits marijuana deliveries throughout the state, even in communities that don't allow cannabis businesses. That case, pitting advocates for access to legal cannabis against local governments fighting for control, read prohibition over the industry, is finally due to go to trial in Fresno County Superior Court starting, no joke, April 20th. I'm a little relieved to say I haven't heard about this happening in Santa Cruz, but maybe I missed the memo. I never can be sure. Another lawsuit on the docket in 2020 tackles the same issue at a local level. Attorney General Xavier Becerra in November joined a suit filed by East of Eden Cannabis Company after, oh, well, here we go, Santa Cruz County banned marijuana deliveries by companies it hasn't licensed. The next hearing in that case is scheduled for Thursday, January 2nd. So the right-wing Board of Stupid Vipers, supervisors in Santa Cruz, is going up against the state attorney general, which is trying to essentially support the rights of East of Eden Cannabis Company. Thank you, Ryan Coonerty. Thank you, friend. Thank you, whoever else passed this monstrosity. Of course, I could be wrong. If those guys did not vote for this, good for you. I don't have those facts at my fingertip right now. My fingertips. Legislative changes. Three new marijuana laws take effect Wednesday, January 1st. Senate Bill 34 will let licensed businesses donate products for medical marijuana patients in need. Assembly Bill 37 will let cannabis operators deduct expenses, a standard business practice that's been blocked due to federal law. And Assembly Bill 1810 makes it illegal for passengers in limos, taxis, and other commercial vehicles to consume cannabis, though they can still drink alcohol. Isn't that wonderful? Effectively ending any hope of cannabis party buses. Also on Wednesday, mandated industry tax hikes will hit an already struggling industry. Businesses say more legislative changes are needed if they stand a chance of competing against the thriving illicit market, with wholesale cannabis prices expected to fall in the coming year. There are calls for a potential overhaul to the tax structure, and with shops allowed in just 20% of California cities, there's talk of trying to force cities with residents that supported Proposition 64 to allow marijuana businesses in their borders. Also, in the wake of a vaping-related health crisis that in 2019 killed at least 54 people and left another 2,506 with serious lung injuries, new state or federal laws governing the vaping sector are expected. 3. Clearing the record. Proposition 64 retroactively reduced penalties for just about every crime involving cannabis, downgrading marijuana sales without a license, for example, from a felony to a misdemeanor. Unfortunately, we don't have a lot of stats on who's being held in the local jail on these kinds of crimes and other drug war crimes. If it's a large percentage, I say get those guys out. And the gals, too. But data shows only a fraction of the people eligible to petition the courts to have these marijuana crimes reduced or cleared from their records since the law passed in November 2016 have done so, presumably due to the time, cost, and expertise involved. The legislature in September 2018 approved Assembly Bill 1793, which requires the state to proactively track down and process all marijuana cases eligible for expungement. The bill gave local prosecutors until July 1st of this year, 2020, to process eligible cases, and it's expected that several hundred thousand people could have marijuana cases downgraded or dropped from their records. That could make them newly eligible for jobs, housing, and other benefits often denied to convicted felons. 4. Weed Maps Cleanup. The Irvine-based online marijuana shop directory Weed Maps has continued to promote illicit retailers even after California's Bureau of Cannabis Control, the high and mighty California Bureau, sent Weed Maps a cease and desist letter in February 2018, and it's still going even though Governor Gavin Newsom signed a bill effective July 1st that lets regulators fine unlicensed parties up to $30,000 each day that they're in violation of the state cannabis laws. Weed Maps said in September it would stop advertising illicit businesses by the end of the year. As of Friday, December 27th, ads for cannabis shops in cities that have banned retail were still easy to find on the website. Big deal. If the illicit ads don't come down in the next week, licensed businesses expect to see major fines handed down by the state, with calls for tougher enforcement across the industry in the year to come. And if the ads do come down, the industry will have a real-time test in 2020 of just how important Weed Maps was in bolstering the illicit market. Considering the fact that the local cities throughout the state have done what they can to make, and counties have done what they can to make it illegal to essentially cultivate and sell marijuana with, I don't know, even the freedom that alcohol is sold with, I have no problem understanding why the illicit market is flourishing. More states eye legalization, number 5. Licensed cannabis shops will open for the first time in Illinois starting Wednesday, January 1st, making it the 11th state to legalize recreational marijuana and the first to do so through the legislature. But in the coming year, as many as 6 more states are expected to consider legalizing cannabis through the legislature led by Vermont, which legalized cannabis possession in 2018, New Mexico, and New York. And another 12 states could vote in November on legal cannabis, including Arizona, New Jersey, Ohio, and Florida. That could give California's legal industry more clout as it pushes for federal reforms in 2020. And finally, number 6, federal changes afoot. September saw the first ever federal vote on a standalone cannabis bill when the House of Representatives voted to let federally insured banks work with cannabis businesses in states that have legalized marijuana. While that SAFE Banking Act still faces the Republican-controlled Senate, observers are predicting some version of the bill will pass in 2020. And that's the story from the Santa Cruz Sentinel. 6 things to watch for in 2020, from key court cases to clearing criminal records. It'll be another big year for cannabis policy. A lot of information in there, although what's really relevant locally is perhaps less, and it's more for all of us marijuana news voyeurs. And I think that's about it for this edition of Bathrobe Spears Broadsides. Hoping that in the future, Alicia Cool, who has a show slated to follow mine, may actually put one together. She's really busy, struggling hard. I think she now has a new job over the hill, if I'm not mistaken. But if you want to catch her updates, go to the Santa Cruz County Homeless Advocates or come to the Santa Cruz Union of the Homeless meetings on Sunday at 5 o'clock at the Food Not Bombs meal right outside the main post office. I will be coming back with another story on a whole bunch of little stories or going on and on at you again on Sunday, probably 9:30, unless I choose to take a well-deserved vacation, which I'll continue to threaten to do, and so don't be surprised. Thanks for listening. Give me a call if you have any updates, questions, or reports. 423-4833, area code 831.
Help to address the whole long-range development plan. Speakers at the rally notified the crowd that a tree stood had been erected and was under police interference, and so hundreds of students, I think 500, marched a short way across campus and tore down the barricades and reopened the path for activists to bring the rest of the tree sit supplies up to the tree sit, and were met with batons and pepper spray. But the police were overmatched, and despite using batons and pepper spray, the police retreated. And the students occupied the parking lot for the next month and a half up until their winter break. The tree sit has flourished subsequently for over 4 months, from November 7th to whatever it is now, March 13th.
March 13th. So you're past your four-month anniversary there. Can you tell us a little bit about what's been going on down below the trees? Has there been teach-ins and various kinds of pamphleting activities? Are those still going on?
No, that's pretty much decided. As I said, when the students left for winter break, the autonomous zone that had developed following the November 7th riot gave way to sort of a more covert resupply system, and in fact, over the break, the regents and their police minions cracked down on anyone trying to support the tree sit. A professor was arrested trying to bring hot soup. Other activists were tackled to the ground, pepper sprayed, and arrested. A couple of them, one of them over the break, and that led to a faculty backlash and the creation of a group called Friends of Fauna and Flora that is raising money for legal defense and putting pressure on the university to ease up on their repressive tactics.
Well, we read in news stories today that the judge on Monday who issued an injunction for the university also released two people from that injunction, saying that they were wrongly included in the injunction because they were merely exercising their free speech rights. So that sort of looks like a positive an aspect to it.
It does. I think our impression of the injunction, it's not entirely positive. There's still some things that need to be that remain to be seen what the real impact of them are. But the fact that none of the tree sitters were named and that an eviction order was not approved or given, I think the university is in over their head, and it is essentially their attempt to repress free speech. And the judge recognized that this is an expression of political speech.
Well, there is another tree sit going on, and that one is taking place up in Berkeley in a grove of oak trees. Mm-hmm. Recently, a police action was undertaken to try and remove tree sitters from that tree sit, and that ended in failure when the tree sitter merely climbed a little farther up the tree.
Right, that's actually a new tree sit that sprung up in solidarity with the first one in Berkeley. The initial tree sit in Berkeley was, again, political free speech, protesting the university's plan there to build a sports complex. The new one, which is occupied by a tree sitter named